These days, it's getting harder and harder to stand out as a freelancer, but not for you, my friend, because this week I am giving you 8 ways to set yourself apart as a freelancer. Are you ready? Let's go. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast. It's so good to have you back. I feel like we are becoming best friends, and maybe that's just me, and that's okay. Point is, I like having you here every single week chatting about what it takes to be a better web designer, a better freelancer, a better web developer, or whatever it is you are trying to accomplish. Hopefully, I'm like your little angel on your shoulder, just coaching you as you are listening to this podcast, saying, you can do it. You got this. And this week, we are talking about how to stand out as a freelancer. I don't know if you knew this, but there are 57 million people in the US alone that identify themselves as freelancers. And don't get discouraged. There's plenty of business to go around. But at the same time, you've got to be smart about how you market yourself. You've got to figure out ways that when a client says to you, why should I hire you over this other person that I'm talking to? You've got a ton of things to throw at them because you are confident at who you are and what you do, and you've got some stuff that you have been working on to stand out. So I think this episode is really going to help you learn how to do just that. Before we dive in, I gotta ask, have you taken a second and subscribed to the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast? Have you gone even further to leave us a rating or a comment on whatever platform you are listening to this podcast on? By doing that, it actually helps other folks find this podcast and maybe get a little bit of help, a little bit of encouragement, so that they too can become self-made web designers. Self-maders, I think, is the thing that we all agreed upon calling ourselves. Okay, maybe I just agreed for us, but I think you get the picture. So subscribe, leave a rating, leave a comment today, and I will give you a digital internet hug. I'm pretty sure that is the only type of hug that you are guaranteed to not get COVID from. So, okay, are you ready to dive in to how to stand out as a freelancer and win higher paying clients? Okay, let's go. So years ago, when I went to business school, we had a few definitions. And one was something called key differentiators. And what those were things that a business had or did that made them different from everyone else. Okay, so those are key differentiators. Another thing was this thing called core competencies. And that's the stuff that businesses did that they were really good at. At the core of them, they were really competent at these things. And why these folks figured they had to make really big names for pretty simple concepts, I don't know. Sounds like a professor who's just trying to sound smart. But here's what I like to call them. I like to call your key differentiators your secret sauce, and your core competencies, your superpowers. And I am of the belief, and I'm very strong in this belief, okay? You're not going to convince me otherwise, that every freelancer has a secret sauce and a superpower. No matter how long you have been doing this, if it's been for a few days or a few months, you have a unique set of skills that both sets you apart from everybody else and gives you a unique advantage in what you are doing. And these are the main things that you need to figure out about yourself in order to figure out how to stand out as a freelancer. And it's not so much you coming up with these things as much as it is you discovering these things about yourself. And we're going to talk a little bit about those things. Then there's another side of the story. There's another page in this book. And this is the foundational stuff that everybody as a freelancer, you've just got to have a solid foundation for. And the combination of that, the solid foundation of the core things that you are supposed to be doing, whether that's your hard skills or whatever, and your secret sauce and your superpowers, this makes a mixture. It makes a soup, a freelancer soup, that helps you to stand out amongst all the other folks that are out there. And so these are the things that you've got to, one, figure out about yourself, and two, work on. And so we're going to talk about these, and I'm going to hit you with the core foundation stuff first, and then we'll go into the secret sauce and the superpowers. So let's talk about that foundational stuff. Let's talk about the stuff that really everybody needs to have a good amount of if you're going to stand out as a freelancer. So the first foundational thing that you need is to be good at what it is you do. And I'm pausing for dramatic effect, but that's not really a surprising thing. If you're going to be a freelancer in whatever, web design, web development, you could, like, if you want to be a copywriter and you want to stand out, you've got to be good at that thing. And there's no amount of marketing, there's no amount of guru speak that will help you to cover up the fact that maybe you're not all that great at this thing that you're trying to freelance with. And I see so many people working on everything else other than getting good at the one thing that they are trying to sell about themselves as a freelancer. They work on their social media, they work on how they're presenting themselves, they work on their branding, but very rarely, very seldomly do I see people who say, you know what, I'm just gonna work on becoming a better web designer or web developer. And here's the good news, because I know that maybe some of you listening, you're kind of getting started and you don't feel like you're all that great, and so you might be getting a little discouraged. Here's the good news though, okay? Before you hit pause and walk away, never to return to this podcast episode again, it's my belief that no matter who you are, no matter what kind of genes you were born with, you can become good at anything. And this is, I'm not like a Disney, everything feels good, everything's great. This is stuff that I have studied, from neuroscience to books that I have read, from researchers who have looked into this stuff. The data says that it doesn't really matter what type of things you were born with as far as talents goes. That's not the most important things when it comes to being good at something. The most important thing is how much you practice. So here's the deal. Here's just the truth. It's not earth-shattering. It's not gonna rock you off your feet. You know, like, if you're listening to this in the car, you don't need to pull over, okay? But here's the truth about this stuff, at becoming good at what it is you're doing. The more stuff you make, the better you get at making that stuff. And that might sound oversimplistic, but that's the truth of what it comes to. If you are wanting to be better at what it is that you're doing as a freelancer, as a web designer, as a web developer, as a UX designer, as a product designer, whatever it is, if you want to get better, you've got to do more of that stuff. But here's the tricky part. It can become pretty difficult, especially if you're a freelancer, you've got a side hustle, you've got all this other stuff that you've got to do for your, you know, normal day job, then you got to come home and take care of life. And if you've got kids, if you've got a family, like, it means you even have less time to work on those things. And then you're trying to get these clients and you got a few projects that are going on. And so what happens is that there will be long stretches of time between you actually making things. You know, like, you'll get a client and you'll make stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that doesn't involve you being creative and designing things or developing things. There's things like having meetings to talk about the details of what it is that you're making, or troubleshooting why something isn't working correctly, or revisions, or whatever it is. And so if you just naturally let this slip, you're not gonna get better. So here's my suggestion. If you want to get better at the thing that you are freelancing in, then you have to set up intentional and daily practice times. And this is from a guy who is a musician, right? I learned guitar, and I would always have my guitar teacher every single lesson, "Chris, you've got to practice more if you want to get better." I just thought that coming once a week to his lesson would help me to get better and better. And one day I'd be able to just do these ripping killer solos. No, that's not how it works. And this is where it got ingrained in me that if I'm going to be a good web designer, I've got to have something as a part of my schedule where I am practicing web design. So what does that look like specifically? If you're a web designer, that might mean developing or designing a hero section of a fictional business every single day. You don't have to take 4 hours to do it. Take 30 minutes and just come up with a really quick mock-up of a fake business with a fake name. And then you're creating a hero image and a menu and a title and a call to action and all that good stuff. And do that every day. And you're going to look back in a few years and you're going to see the progress that you have made. And you're going to realize, wow, I've gotten so much better at the thing that it is that I'm freelancing in. If you're a developer, take a few projects. There's plenty of things out there. If you search quick JavaScript projects, you're going to find a lot of different projects that people have come up with for you to practice working on, to developing those skills. It's not really difficult. So don't get overwhelmed at the idea of what I should do. Just a little Google search will get you a long way. The most important thing is that you've got it in your schedule every single day. And here's the key. You can't wait to be inspired to do it. It has to be just a normal part of your day. It's got to be something you do just like you put on socks every day. Or shoes if you're a sandal wearer, right? Like it's just, you've got to do it. It's not an option. If you do that, if you master that routine, even when it's boring, you will not be able to help but get better at what you do and stand out as a freelancer in your field. So number one, be good at what you do. Number two, have a clear project process. And we talked about this a lot with Mr. Michael Janda. He has some of the best advice that I have heard on this subject. But in general, having a clear project process is one of the most important things that you can do to stand out as a freelancer. And here's the truth. A lot of freelancers, they have a really haphazard process. And what does that mean? That means that every time they get a new project, they're kind of going, what should I do? Well, maybe we'll start out with a wireframe. Yeah, maybe a wireframe sounds good. Okay, then maybe I'll jump on a client call and maybe we'll go over that wireframe and see what they say. And if they want me to move things a few pixels over, then I'll do that. And then, maybe I'll send them a few stock photos and see what kind of stuff they like. And maybe a few things, some web design that maybe might inspire them and see what they think of that stuff. But that is a really inefficient way to do a project with a client. And if you do things that way, it will cause a lot of confusion for your clients. It will force you to take longer on projects. It will create a lot of frustration around the client wondering, what's happening? Where are we in this process, and what can I be expecting? But on the other hand, if you've got a really clear, crystal clear step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, until you are finished all the way through with your project, with the client, then you are going to instantly stand out. Because this is the kind of stuff that not a lot of people think about. They think about, well, if I'm just a good designer, if I'm just a good developer, then heck, I'm sure plenty of people will hire me. But clients aren't just hiring you for that thing, even though, as we said, that's important. Clients are also hiring you for how you take them through the process. And if you can figure out a way to take a client through the process that alleviates a lot of the stress and a lot of the frustration that comes from taking absolutely nothing, a blank page, and turning it into a website or into a mobile app or a web app, like, you are going to be a killer freelancer, and it's going to be impossible for you not to stand out. So have a clear client process. And of course, if you are looking for a client process, you are welcome to borrow mine and tweak it to your heart's delight to make it something that is perfect for you. I give it away. If you're listening to this, it is either in the show notes or it's on this episode's webpage. Fill out the form and I will send it straight to you. It's a Trello board that I have used for a long time and I know that it will help you. So number two, have a clear project process. Number three, be client focused. Hear me out on this. A lot of freelancers talk more about themselves when trying to convince a client to hire them than they do about the client. And they'll give things like a laundry list of how many years they've been doing the thing that they're doing for the project, what other clients have thought about them, all the other areas that they are skilled in. Me. It is annoying to hear. And I say that because I have hired freelancers for different things. And on the surface, this might seem like a smart move. You're trying to make yourself look really good, but it's important to realize that clients are not looking for you to be the hero of their story. They want you to help them be the hero of their story. So your role in the midst of this is not savior. It's not to come and save them. It's to come and be their guide along the process of them building whatever it is that they're trying to build, whether it's a business or an organization, maybe it's a platform, social media influence, whatever. So you're not trying to sweep in being Captain America for freelancers, right? You are trying to help them learn how to become Captain America through the thing that you are offering. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, you ask a lot of questions. You have to become a student of your client. So you ask things like, what are you trying to accomplish with this project? What are the whys behind the what? The what is, I need a website, but why? Why do you need a website? What would you do if you didn't have a new website? Or what about, what would a successful project look like to you? From A to B, tell me, what would success look like? Or what about, what would make me the right freelancer for the job rather than someone else? And a lot of times freelancers, they're afraid to ask this. They feel like this is like a secret book that the client is like keeping real close to their chest. They don't want you to know any of this stuff. But no, they're looking for somebody to ask them these questions. And so if you become a student of their wants and their dreams and their desires and what they feel like will make for a good project, then you can know how to answer them when they ask questions. You can know how to frame your responses to where you make it client focused. So you ask a lot of questions. Then once you have a little bit of the behind the scenes story of why they're trying to accomplish this thing, then you try to make the connection between what they're trying to accomplish and the superpowers and the secret sauce that you have. So you're trying to say, you're trying to do this, I've got skills in this, and so I can help you in this specifically. See how that works? See how that happens? We're asking questions, we're keeping them the hero of the story, and we are showing them how our skills are perfect for the project that they are trying to accomplish. As a rule of thumb, you want to be saying you and your a lot more in your communication than you are saying I, me, or my. So that is a clear sign. If you're saying you and you are more than you are saying I, me, and my, then you know that you are staying more client focused. Number four, you need to get good at interacting with clients. And a lot of freelancers struggle with communicating with clients. And I realize this, there's a lot of fear behind having a conversation with a stranger or cold calling or reaching out to a complete stranger. And sometimes it can make you really nervous because after all, there's a lot riding on this. This could be the difference between you getting paid or you having a project that's ready for you once the project that you're working on is finished or not. And so, you know, it becomes really difficult. You know what you're doing, you know how to do it, but you jump on a phone call with a client and all of a sudden you feel stupid. Or you go to send an email and you reread it and reread it like 100 times before finally you say, forget it, and you just press send, okay? I know I can't be the only one who feels this way a lot of times. At the root of not communicating or interacting well with clients is fear, plain and simple. And so in order to get better at communicating and interacting with clients, you've got to kind of do a little inner work. You've got to uncover what those fears are. Why are you so afraid? Are you afraid of rejection? Okay, you're afraid of people saying no because something happened in your life and it really hurt you. Somebody rejected you and it hurt you and you have a hard time handling that. Okay, now you know what it is, and then you build a game plan for getting over that fear. Another fear is like a FOMO, a fear of missing out. Like, if I don't do it just right, then I'm never going to have another opportunity like this again. And so now that you know what that fear is, then you go and you speak a little bit of truth to it. So if it's fear of rejection, then you can say things like, well, what's the worst that can happen if they say no? Absolutely nothing. Like, the rejection police aren't going to come and handcuff you and take you away to a sale, never to be able to freelance again. You know, like, that's illogical, but for some reason our brain starts thinking that way. Or what if you miss out on a project that was going to be really good, that you're going to make a lot of money on, and it was going to last you for a long time? Are you never going to get another project again? Of course not. You will definitely, like, the chances are highly likely that you will find another project fairly soon. And a lot of times I hear freelancers that this happens to, and the very next client that comes to them, it's even better than the one that they just lost out on. So we're acknowledging our fears, we're speaking truth to them, and then we just got to do the work. We just got to practice. We just got to call and communicate and talk with clients. And if you don't have any clients that you can talk to, it's always great to, you know, ask a friend to act like a fake client on the telephone and to just give you a call at random, or a family member or whatever, and tell them, listen, I'm trying to become more confident in how I talk. Will you call me at random parts of the day and just act like you're a client who's looking for somebody to do a project for a website or whatever it is that you do? But if you take your fear, if you speak truth to it, and you keep practicing, you will get better at communicating and interacting with clients. Number five, in order to stand out as a freelancer, you've got to have integrity. And this is the final foundational characteristic to have in order to stand out as a freelancer. And you'd think that this would be a given in every single freelancer. Like, of course you have to have integrity to be a good freelancer and to stand out, but it is not. I have had multiple clients who have come to me after they hired a freelancer, they paid them the deposit, or they paid them something like 75%, and then the freelancer was gone. They never got in touch with them again from that point on. And here's the thing, like, that's like the no duh situation. Like, of course you lack integrity if you take money from a client and then you never communicate with them again. So, but there are other situations where integrity is a little bit tougher, and we might all kind of struggle with it. So, for instance, what if you're working on a project and another really high-paying project comes along? But in order to take that high-paying project, you'd have to deprioritize. You'd have to push back the current project that you're working on. What would you do? Or what about if you make a big mistake? And we've chatted about making mistakes as freelancers on this podcast. What if you make a mistake on a project, and rather than take responsibility because you're so afraid that the client is going to fire you and you really need this project, you avoid the subject altogether? Or worse, maybe you blame it on something else. Maybe it's the server's fault, or maybe it's the developer that came before you, when in actuality, you should probably take responsibility for it. What do you do in that scenario? And this is where the rubber hits the road with integrity. And it's where a lot of freelancers really struggle. And listen, I'm not 100% clean in all of my dealings with clients. I've struggled with this stuff before, and I've had to work it out. And there have been times when I've done a good job with it. There have been times when I haven't. And the point is not to be perfect all the time. The point is to continually work on these things and realize that you're going to be put in situations that are going to make you question your integrity. And so if you prepare for it and understand that it's coming, then you can already predetermine how you're going to respond. But here's what I've found in business and in life. If you have integrity in everything that you do, it will always come back to you. Word will get around. For instance, those clients that I took on the jobs from freelancers that had ghosted them, they were head over heels about the work that I had done for them. And not because it was amazing work, but just because I had literally stepped in to save the day. I had literally helped them from not getting something finished on time and staying on budget with them. And so then they tell other people about that. All of a sudden, I've got more business. All of a sudden, I'm really standing out as a freelancer. And having integrity will do the same for you. And realize this is a long game. If you are in this to make a quick buck at all costs, that you will tell a client no matter what, just to get the project, this isn't going to last very long and you won't stand out as a freelancer. I want to take a second and tell you about a free course that I have available at selfmadewebdesigner.com. Over 1,000 people have been through this course, and I am talking about the Web Designer Starter Kit course. I map out in 4 videos that you get through email all the steps that I took to get to where I am as a web designer. And I went from knowing absolutely nothing. I was clueless to, in 2 years, doubling my income with a freelance web design side hustle. I made this because I know you can be successful doing the same thing. And the Web Designer Starter Kit course is the first step for you on your journey to being a successful, thriving freelance web designer or having a full-time career. So I can't wait for you to check it out. Go to selfmadewebdesigner.com and sign up today. All right, so now we're going to get into the secret sauce and the superpowers of standing out as a freelancer. And the first one, number 6, is you've got to know who your client is exactly. And I'm not talking about a general sense. I'm talking about you've got a name for them. You know what kind of music they listen to. You know what kind of books and podcasts that they are following. Like, you are almost like a cyber stalker when it comes to your clients. And knowing your perfect customer, and a lot of people call this a lot of different things, from your user persona to your ideal customer avatar, whatever it is that you want to call it. But knowing this takes time and it takes work. But you need to kind of ask yourself a few questions. So you start out with what's called demographics. And demographics are things like their age. How old are they? How much money do they make? What's their job title or level of education? So that's demographics. Then you go into something called psychographics. And that's things like, what influencers do they follow? What books are they reading? What online groups are they a part of? What are their hopes and dreams for them and their families? And this may seem like overkill, but you're trying to see life from their perspective. And you're trying to figure out how to get where they are. Because the more that you do that, the more that you're going to be able to solve problems that are specific to them. And if you know what interests they have, you are much more likely to know how to just bump into them online, to join the groups that they are a part of, to listen to the podcast that they are a part of, to be a part of the Clubhouse meetups that they are going to, so that you can interject if you have good advice. All of a sudden, you now become an expert in the field and amongst their peer groups as you're helping them to answer questions. So you got to know the demographics, the psychographics. You also need to kind of understand some purchase drivers. This is where your superpower and your secret sauce really comes into play. You want to ask questions like, why would they put money towards paying you versus anything else that they can be doing in their business, versus having somebody manage their social media, versus having somebody do copywriting, versus whatever else? Why would they hire you to do that versus something else? You want to have that question answered. So number one, you have a response to them. But number two, you know that you are developing yourself in such a way that it is exactly what they are looking for. So demographics, psychographics, and purchase drivers. Again, you don't want to think about this in terms of 2 or 3 people. You want to be thinking of one person. You want to even give them a name, like Billy Business Owner, even though that's a real general. You want to get a little bit more specific. It's going to be more than just a man who's a business owner, but something like that. And if you don't know the answers to these questions, then start asking around, looking online forums. go to Facebook groups, go on Reddit and the subreddits that these people are hanging out in and see what kind of questions they are asking so that you can have a hint as to what some of these things are, how to identify your ideal customer avatar, your perfect client. Number seven, lean in to your personality. Don't shy away from it. If there's one thing that makes you incredibly different from anybody else, it is this. It's your personality. And so many freelancers, they feel like they've got to kind of hide that, that they can't be themselves because clients aren't going to like that. But here's what I found for myself. When I first got started, I tried being really businesslike. I tried, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Okay, maybe I didn't do that. But I tried to be really formal in the way that I was talking to people and in my emails. And it got really crappy. Like, I hated it for a while. And I mean, you know, if you're watching or if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know that I am not a formal person. I'm very laid back. I make a lot of mistakes in the things that I say and how I talk. And then I just keep rolling with it. It's just who I am. And so me trying to be somebody else was actually making things really hard for me. But the moment I said, you know what, if it takes me being formal and businesslike to be a successful freelancer, then I just don't want to be a successful freelancer. And what happened is I let my personality shine through. People were more and more comfortable with me because I was less nervous when I interacted with them. I was able to open up and get a little bit deeper with them. They felt more comfortable with me. They felt like they could share more with me. And so I was able to do better on projects because I was able to access more of their hopes and their dreams for what they were trying to accomplish just because they felt more comfortable because I felt more comfortable. And the same can be true for you. No matter what your personality is, you don't have to be loud and boisterous like I can tend to be sometimes. You don't have to be demanding with, you know, knowing everything that you're going to say, walking into every meeting. You can be 100% you. I have known freelancers who are very much introverts. And rather than saying, I'm sorry for being introverted, they lean into that. That's even a part of their branding. They call themselves the introverted web designer. And even Chris Doe talked about how he's an introverted communicator. And he's kind of leaning into that and he has a huge following. So whatever it is, don't feel like you've got to hide that from your clients. In fact, turn up the volume on that because that will make you stand out almost more than anything else. Your personality is 100% unique to you and no other freelancer is going to be able to copy it. They may try, but it will be a bad copy. Like me trying to make dinner that I had at a restaurant in my home. It's going to be fine, but it's not going to be nearly as good as if I just went to the restaurant and paid for somebody else to make my meal. So lean into your personality. And finally, number eight, another superpower secret sauce way that you can stand out as a freelancer is pick a sub specialty. For every freelancer, there's the main thing that you do. And we talked about that a little bit. We talked about how it's important to get really good at that main thing. But if you're going to really stand out as a freelancer, you're going to have to learn how to have some subspecialties, some other things that you can do so that when somebody comes and says, should I pick this freelancer or you, they can go, you know what, this freelancer comes with all of these other skills that would be really nice to have on this project. There's a lot of things that you could pick. You could be extra skilled in illustration. And illustrators are really killing it when it comes to web design right now because that's a really popular thing that a lot of clients are using for. So to have a custom illustration go along with a web design build is going to really help you to stand out. Or what about being really good at getting websites to score well on Google's PageSpeed Insight? So things like Core Web Vitals and GT Metrics and all of those things. And, you know, a lot of people say that they're good at that stuff, but that actually takes a lot of work to know how to get good at that stuff. I know I've been researching it a ton. There's so much information around this stuff. So if you can say, hey, I'm a great web designer, but I can also make your website go really fast and help you to score well as a result in SEO, like ding, 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 all of a sudden some lights start going off in the minds of the clients to go, this person really stands out against everybody else that we've been talking to. Or what about conversion rate optimization? What about getting a site to perform better with things like purchasing services or buying a product where you know how to set and optimize a site to where the majority or a better number of people that visit that site are actually going to sign up or buy a product or whatever it is that the client is trying to accomplish? Or what about photography? Everybody needs photography for their website. So what if instead of having stock photos on a site, you could say, I'm going to come and do a custom photo shoot for you. And it's going to look just as good as if you paid somebody else a lot of money to do that. What about copywriting? There's copywriting, there's branding, there's animation, there's all sorts of stuff that you can pick. And here's, I'm not saying that you include these in the price of a website. No, these are all going to be additional charges, but I guarantee you that a client will prefer to hire one person to do all of those things rather than having to hire you and then go find somebody else to hire to do photography or animation or site speed or whatever, because it wastes their time. And in the long run, even if they've got to pay you a little bit extra, it actually ends up saving them money. So pick a subspecialty. And how do you know what is right for you? Well, you've got to pick something that you know that you are interested in, that you know you really like learning about this stuff, because this is another thing that is going to take a while to get good at before you can start telling people, yeah, I'm a great conversion rate optimizationalist. Like, you can't just say I watched a YouTube video and now I'm an expert, right? Like, you've got to have a little bit of experience under your belt when it comes to this stuff. And so you're going to have to love it. You're going to have to like the idea of having that skill. Or maybe you already have that skill. Maybe you take something that you just happen to know, photography. And so now you can start putting that into the services that you are offering clients. And listen, if you're just getting started, don't pick something else just yet. Like, just get good at what it is that you're trying to offer, whether it's web design or web development or whatever. Just get good at that thing. And then once you've mastered that to a certain degree, because of course we never really master anything, but once you get fairly good at that and you're happy with your work and you're getting enough clients, then it's time to add on that subspecialty so that you can stand out even more. Well, I hope this has encouraged you and given you some real practical insight on how to stand out as a freelancer and win higher paying clients. And here's the general idea behind all of this. This takes time to master. You are not going to have all of these things. You're not going to stand out a ton at the very beginning. And so don't get discouraged if you're listening to this thinking, how am I ever going to get good at all of these things at the same time? And I would encourage you, if you try to get good at all of this stuff simultaneously, you're not ever going to be good at any of this stuff. So pick one or two things that I have said that has connected with you, that you've gone, that would be really cool if I tried doing that. And then work on that for a little bit. It can be 3 to 4 months. It can be a year. You don't have to feel the pressure to be an expert at this freelance thing that you're doing when you've only been doing it for a few years or a few months. And somebody who's been doing it for 20 years is going to be a lot better than you. And you shouldn't be discouraged by that. It should actually encourage you, because now you can look at somebody and go, if I keep going at the rate that I am, working on these things every single day, communicating with clients, becoming better at my craft, having integrity, having a subspecialty, niching down on who my ideal client is, if I work on this every single day, when I get to be their age or have had as much time as they have in this industry, when I get to that point, I'm actually going to be further along. And so look at this as if you were trying to eat an elephant. And I know that's kind of disgusting and kind of weird, but that's the best illustration that I can think of that really explains what this process is like. And how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, one day at a time. It's those small decisions every single day that will set you up for success in the long run, as long as you stick with it. And I know that you will, because hey, you made a good choice listening to this podcast, and I like you, and I'm on your side. I am your cheerleader from Arizona, encouraging you and hopefully giving you a little bit of insight to help you to keep going and to learn how to do this thing that you are trying to do as a freelance web designer, web developer, or whatever it is. So hope that helps. And next week, you know, we're coming back. We're going to do it again. We're going to have another amazing episode, and it's going to be fantastic. I know that you are going to love it. But until then, tell your friends about the Self-Made Web Designer podcast. And don't forget, if you don't quit, you win.